All right.
Very small progressive bubble. And I thought, you know, I really want to know who these Bush supporters are. I really want
to... If you want to get a little more specific, AudioNet's programming guide will link you to topics ranging from astrology and autos to fitness, foods, and audiobooks.
Figure out what's going on outside of your hometown.
All right, so you're literally picking up the phone. You have lists of people.
Right.
And you're picking up the phone.
In everything. You know, I don't know where I find this willingness to go through the pain I went through. I don't know where I find it. I don't know what it is. I get to the point where I just say, I can't take this anymore, I gotta try again. And I give it my best shot. Give it my best shot.
Yankee, Hotel, Zulu, Lima, Zambia, Zulu, Foxtrot.
2251.
Let's hear it for nobody.
Now, during that period, you and I were talking on the phone.
Right.
You were telling me you were off drugs.
I would only talk to you when I was. That was the only time I was comfortable talking to you. So when you hear from me, I was clean. When you don't hear from me, I'm abusive.
Hey, Superstar. It's Barney, Super Agent. I just want to remind you, it's been 13 weeks, and Valerie's anxious to see a draft. So if you could wrap things up, get it to her by Monday, that'd be great.
Lessons of history is that nothing is often a good thing to do and always a clever thing to say. For those who prefer the scientific formula rather than the historical perspective, we present Albert Einstein. If A is success in life, then A equals X plus Y plus Z. Play and Z.
Zero.
Robert Benchley said, drawing on my fine command of the English language, I said nothing.
Even with something you do know something about, something you have very definite opinions about, something you have every right to feel passionate about,
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
They can
understand the words that we use. Well, you could say, but an infant is going to grow up and you're teaching it basically by talking to it. What about a pet? Again, the argument could be made that pets will understand voice tone. But using myself as an example, I will submit that many people will talk to animals in full complex sentences with words and meaning. For example, in my life, I have uttered sentences such as, "Now, rabbit, you cannot keep chewing through the modem cords of my computer, so please stop." There's not much about voice tone here that we're trying to get across. I live with, in addition to a husband and daughter, three cats and a rabbit, and I do find myself talking to all of those creatures.
Testimony with admirable equanimity, perhaps because they had said nothing, although they'd said it very well. Nor was my testimony sensational. I had brought along the proofs of this book. I drew on them to tell what had happened 25 years before, in 1928 and
1929. And that's probably one of my, what takes me so long to come out of this, because I don't tell anybody.
Maybe I'm just a jerk, but I actually believed you really wanted to get off it.
Yeah, I do.
Airspace above and the subsurface below.
Creatures knowing that they cannot respond in the same way that I'm talking to them, and that they understand only some parts of what I'm saying.
It is a pleasure to be Maud. It is a pleasure and a joy to be here with you. To have this chance to explore. And out of that exploration to work with you.
Amen.
And even more, it is an endless pleasure, a boundless joy. To have this opportunity to love with you. And oh yeah, to have this chance. Thank you.
do. I can't find a way out. It's been a constant cycle since this thing even started.
2251.
In the first place, 6 years ago, it's just cycling. I get clean for a while, maybe months, 6 weeks, and I'm back out using drugs again.
Of a war against Serbia conducted allegedly for humanitarian reasons. Chomsky wrote a pretty good piece saying if you're going to adopt the humanitarian standard, you have to look at what the US government's been supporting. And there is no more terrible series of bloodshed, no more unrelenting massacre of labor organizers, peasants, people struggling for social justice than in Colombia. At this very minute, the U.S. is cranking up for a major intervention in Colombia. It is shuttling arms to the Colombian regime. It is said that there can be no diplomacy with the FARC, with the insurgents, who are, as some of you may know, doing very well. It is throwing everything into this. It is, if you like, we are back as we were in the very early 60s with Vietnam. This is an intervention that's attracting very little attention. The other day, some of you may have read that a U.S. spy plane went down. A spy plane that was causing significant damage to the insurgents. A drug war is fought internationally as an excuse to put down social justice movement.
Listen, you're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two. Keep your mouth shut and your eyes open.
Shining after rain. Let us read it again. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain.
You can also link to our newest site.
Love you.
And so it is once again that we do welcome you with endless and boundless pleasure and joy and with love. We welcome you. We welcome you all to this evening. We welcome most of you to the day of that follow.
Where does the problem come? I mean, you're now, you're telling me you're off heroin now for 8 days.
Right. The problem comes when I start feeling healthy again in about 3 or 4 weeks and start feeling confident. Maybe I get cocky or something, I don't know. As soon as I start getting money in my pocket or something like that and I go back to work, it becomes difficult for me because the obsessions start to kick in.
Toward the end, I suggested that history could repeat itself, although I successfully resisted all invitations to predict when.
Began to make me feel like a really prosperous guy, and I headed off kind of like Willie Loman heading off at his highest down off of Provincetown and searching for the right music to exit Boston on in this gray Reliant. And I'm driving along, and about halfway down to the Cape, I begin to get real hungry. It's one of those gray, lowery days, the kind of day you want to have a shot of scotch at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm driving this gray Reliant in this gray day with the name of Gray, so I stop at Bickford's. And I go into Bickford's, and I see that what's the specialty that day is the hot, open-faced turkey sandwich. Fantastic turkey and spongy white bread with gravy and a little cranberry sauce in a little cardboard container. And I ordered it, and I was sauce in a little cardboard container, and I open-faced turkey sandwich.
Like, I get so excited that I can throw up.
Yes. Welcome.
I've been working in video for 25 years myself, but if you think of the 20 to 30 year period, that's about a good time to think of something maturing. And
I killed my mom.
Yeah, it's a kind of a mathematical property of a theory that says if you shift something, physics doesn't really care, the world doesn't really care.
I have developed a link gate complex enough to regulate the forces of the field energies around. These waves are all around us now, like radio waves, television. Channels,
what number you choose to
so on. The entire electromagnetic flux. I have no actual power myself. By using my brain patterns as a sort of focusing device, I'm able to direct electromagnetic energy into a discrete beam. It's rather as though my brain were a lens.
Of artists who grew up with video, who are familiar with it.
Fine as 0 volts in some electric circuit.
We're talking about your dream, of course. It's good to be quiet about that with others, too.
And museums.
We're at a transition period now.
Listen.
You're in a privileged position to learn a thing or two.
About 33?
Got up to 33.
Did it? Time. And that was it. Couldn't hear it after that?
This is the year of evil. It is a year destined to call you, destined to call all people. To either encounter or to confront the phenomenon of union. Pleasure and joy. And we welcome you. We welcome you all to this.
And I've been noticing this in my own personal work.
And my uncle.
That means you threw it away. Now, we wrote the Apple computer years ago when they first came out with this Macintosh. I was very impressed with the machine, and I wrote to them and said, why did you use these icons? They wrote back a very lengthy letter. The gist of it was this. They said, we decided to teach computers how people think instead of trying to teach people how computers think.
So if you believe that gauge symmetry is a symmetry of nature, and we already had extremely good evidence that it was a symmetry of electricity and magnetism and the strong force, so maybe the weak force too, if you want that, then you discover that the electric forces and the weak forces will be completely symmetrical in a lot of ways. They will... Force carrier would be massless. And that's in direct contradiction with data. Every data says that the weak force is very, very short range. It's like a contact. That's why it's so weak. A neutrino has to be right on top.
You might ask yourself,
in order for you to have any kind of a
computer users, have you ever talked in a fit of rage or otherwise to your computer?
The force carriers,
well,
the
I think
W
the point
and Z
I'm making
particles
is
are massive.
About
so
the
how do you reconcile
adaptation
gauge
through
symmetry, which says they should be massless, with the fact
no
that they're massive?
To whom
and the
we
answer
are
was,
speaking.
a mathematical trick.
Another corollary of this involves, again, the topic of children.
Of the existence of this
children
new particle
learn
of nature.
Children learn our immensely complicated
now,
languages
when I talk
all
about
around
particle,
the world.
Museums that have not really shown much video now are really looking at it as a very important art.
Similarly, I can talk about
a very important medium.
To teach them
now that we're thinking about
how this process
physics
of language acquisition
theory.
Is accomplished,
the place where it's most obvious is when you're thinking about the force carriers. How do I visualize a photon, a particle of light? Well, first, I.
This evening, we welcome most of you to the day of our Father. This is the year of union. It is a year destined to call you, destined to call all people, to either encounter or to confront the phenomenon of union. Now, for most people, that call will be hidden. Hidden in their needs and desires, hidden in the often unspoken yearning to find a safe haven, to find a safe harbor in a too turbulent and an increasingly uncertain year. But for you, that call will express itself as you seek to develop your relationship with union, as you seek to develop alliance with union, as you seek wholeness, as you seek wholeness in search of triumph.
So focus is about changes on the margin, small changes on the margin, and
it's easier to be funny in a movie or on television than on stage.
So excited, what? At the thought of
the
having heroin?
Getting high, yeah.
You actually got an offer based on someone seeing you on Nightline.
Right.
To go down to
get treatment.
To get treatment in Florida. Right. You went down, you got the treatment.
Right.
You were down there how long?
About 6 weeks.
And
came back home, two weeks, had a job, got high. You know? Even though, like, this thing... this thing has affected me for the rest of my life. If I stay clean for the next 20 years, it's done its job. It's already... It's affected me, and it will always... It would always have left this scar.
Now, during that period, you and I were talking on the phone.
Right.
Right? You were telling me you were off drugs.
I would only talk to you when I was. That was the only time I was comfortable talking to you. So when you hear from me, I was clean. When you don't hear from me, I'm abusing.
Relevant to today, obviously. I mean, this is the video world that we're in, the world of CNN and instant communication and the internet and so on. So what artists are doing with these tools?
Yes, you will deal with the turbulence, you will deal with the uncertainty, you are still a part of your consensus reality. But as map-making magicians, you will deal with the peaks and troughs of turbulence and uncertainty, but you will also reach beyond those peaks, beyond those troughs. As map-making magicians, as well as responding to the needs and desires, to the yearning, spoken or unspoken, you will reach beyond that turbulence, reach beyond that uncertainty, searching for wholeness, seeking wholeness is innate. Seeking wholeness is an instinctive part of consciousness. Not just your consciousness, but an instinctive part of consciousness. Consciousness expressing itself as consciousness units seeking to become subatomic, atomic, and molecular, seeking wholeness. Consciousness expressing itself in the mineral, the plant, the animal, and the human kingdom. Seeking wholeness. It is innate in consciousness. It is an instinctive part of consciousness. It is also a biological chemical urge encoded in the genetics expressed in your DNA and it is also part of your hormonal urges. Triggered at strategic intervals in the living of life. And for you, growing, changing, evolving, triggered at strategic intervals in the embracing of the living and the loving of life.
No eyewitnesses, no vehicle pegged. No prints, no Richie to Mom letters found. Confirmed, the dog sucked Stelfactas nitride chloride.
Consciousness.
Background check. Joan Renfrew Herrick. Secret boozer. Suicide attempts. Suicide. A neighbor doctor told me, she drank Drano, Lieutenant.
I killed my mom, you know, and my uncle.
Well, little friend, dream no more. It's really here. It's called Everdyn Plus.
In hell, you sink to the level of your lack of love. In heaven, you rise to the level of your fullness of love. You see.
Allegedly, the story goes like this. Billy Wilder runs into Louis Malle. This is in the late 50s or early 60s. And Louis Malle just made his most expensive film, which has cost $2.5 million. And Billy Wilder asks him what the film is about. And Louis Malle says, well, it's sort of a dream within a dream. And Billy Wilder says, you just lost $2.5 million.
Domestically, a drug war is fought to put down and contain domestic unrest. If you, in our book, take a look at our book, you'll find a quote from Richard Nixon in 1969 to his buddy Haldeman. And he was saying, we have to wrap it up. I'm paraphrasing. But the real target of the drug war is the black. If Nixon had known what would have been invented in the 80s, But the real target of the drug war is the black. If Nixon had known what would have been invented in the 80s.
And they are tools. I mean, the.
I feel a little more apprehensive about this one than I did about.
That's how I lost my front teeth.
Richie Herrick, shy boy, chump musician, one friend, this hood Tommy. I think Richie had a crush on Tommy's sister.
In a bipartisan move by Reagan and the Democrats, who at that time controlled Congress, he would have been amazed I don't think he would have dared dream of it.
Down through the centuries, the notion that life is wrapped in a dream has been a pervasive theme.
I killed my mom.
About a tool is that you can, you know, take for example,
and that urge released, as we say, at various intervals, strategically.
Good, Tommy. I think Richie had a crush on Tommy's sister. Richie's prison file, missing. Possible suspect Dan Wilhite, just a hunch. Mike Bruning, no call from him yet. Philip Herrick, chemist, chemical manufacturer. Dry cleaning supplies. Stelfactasnide chloride.
Of philosophers and poets. So doesn't it make sense that death...
utensil, the fork. You can kill someone with a fork, or you can eat a meal with it.
I did urge a stiff tightening of margin requirements as a precautionary step. Similar action to minimize the use of credit for speculation had been taken during the war when the speculative enthusiasm was much less.
The point I'm making is obvious about the depth of our adaptation through language, that it's
two would be wrapped in dream, that after death your conscious life would continue in what might be called a dream body. It would be the same dream body you experience in your everyday dream life.
As nobody's been with us a long time. As I explained to the Native Americans, I empathize with their cause, but nobody was here first. In fact, I know nobody keeps all campaign promises. In fact, I even know nobody is in Washington right now working for me. I firmly believe that nobody should have that much power. I want nobody to run my life. Nobody bakes apple pie better than Mom. And, you know, I mean, you can just go on and on.
Fuck you in, chuck you in, suck you in.
A lot of this was bringing those tools of calculus into economics.
I am she, mistakes of men, gritty teeth, fist of clutching, breaststroke, lots of touching, see you when the sun. There'll be big fauna at my hotel, motel, motel.
Except that in the post-mortal state, you could never again wake up, never again return to your physical body.
Now, there are a lot of marginalists. There's a whole bundle of people who get this idea at more or less the same time over about 20 years.
For a laugh, with the quick speed. I'm making those beats. I'm at the free. Forget about a molecule. Now here's the big blast. I love the big cash. I swim the race boots. I spray and drain through.
First I visualize an electric field, a little charge, and there's this invisible, maybe even abstract or mathematical electric field permeating space.
Strange ways. But they're too crazy.
Fantastic turkey and spongy white bread with gravy and blue cranberry sauce in a little cardboard container. And
snort the cheap frills.
Front teeth. And my wife was in a coma for like 3 weeks. And she divorced me, you know, soon after she regained consciousness.
Is that a personal appearance?
It's two kinds of funny. Motion picture funny and television funny, one and the same. And yet they're not. They're three different kinds of funny.
Evening and welcome. As you are no doubt aware, the nation is at present awash in champagne and gay with buntings in celebration of 50 years of broadcasting.
I enter. The glass cutter. The piece of glass I take out is mine. The house is mine. I walk up these stairs. I pass the children's toys. Children mean nothing to me. They were put here to help me. I move to the door. I step into the room.
It's totally up to the user. I mean, the military uses a lot of these same tools.
A hindrance. Feds dogging them, the Kefestians. Meg working on a title search, 4980 Spindrift.
In face, turkey sandwich. Fantastic turkey and spongy white bread with gravy and blue cranberry sauce in a little cardboard container. And I ordered it, and I was eating it. And as I was eating it, I thought, oh, this is a coincidence. Here I am on the way to the Cape eating the food of the pilgrims.
Yes, what we do, no matter to whom we are speaking. Another corollary of this involves, again, the topic of children. Children learn our immensely complicated languages all around the world with little direct instruction. It appears to be relatively effortless for young infants to do this, and we don't sit them down to teach them this. How this process of language acquisition is accomplished is fair core. How this process of, no matter to whom we are speaking.
That's not the photon. The photon is what you get if you wiggle that field. If you take the charge and make it move up and down, then the field will get a ripple in it, and the ripple will propagate through space. And it's that traveling wave, it's that ripple, that's the photon. That is the particle of light.
Another corollary of this involves, again, the topic of children.
And then it occurred to me that I was driving a Plymouth Reliant. And then I remembered that my friend Stephen Snow worked in Plymouth at the 1627 colony, which is this perfect restored colony, that just the way it was supposed to be, with a high fence and thatched roofs, and everyone, anthropologists, sociologists, actors, would play all research and play all these different pilgrims that had come over on the Mayflower. They'd be in these different houses, and I had never been down there. It was kind of like a stockade, and I wanted to see it. And I got down there. It was April and cold, and there were no tourists at all. In fact, I'm walking down the main dirt path looking for the Warren cabin where Stephen Snow is supposed to be playing one of the Warrens. I don't know, Snows came over in the Mayflower too, but for some reason he was playing a Warren. And I was the only I was the only non-pilgrim in the whole place. There weren't any tourists, and it was kind of like a Twilight Zone situation. I mean, I really was going back in time. It was very weird and very strange. And I got down to the Warren house, and I began talking to the woman there, who I guess was Mrs. Warren. She said, "Methinks you want to see my husband." And I said, I do. I really couldn't get the reality straight. She said, "Well, he's not here. He's down tending the pigs in the chillin' down by the Strand." Now, I wondered if he was really down by the water, it was his day off or not, and I couldn't really bring her around. She was talking this old English all the time.
Who did things first? Who had which idea first? It's just very difficult to establish.
But we're not approaching this particular theme today from David's point of view. But we're going to deal specifically with our subject. Clear shining after rain.
Yeah, yeah.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
As you've all time heard me say, on the first day of creation, He created the light.
Ooh, yeah. Lord,
on the second day, He created the firmament.
Ooh, yeah.
On the third day, He created the land, trees, and the walls. On the fourth day, He created the sun, moon, and stars. On the fifth day, He created the fishes of the mighty deep and the birds of the air. On the sixth day, He created the animals to roam the forest and the woods. And late that evening, He made man. In His own image, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When God placed man in the Garden of Eden, He didn't have to want for nothing. Everything was at man's disposal. He didn't have to worry about how the Garden of Eden would be watered. Whereas the trees and the shrubbery could be kept green and moist, for there were four rivers that flowed through the garden and kept all of the vegetation green. But now, when man ate of the forbidden fruit and sinned in the Garden of Eden, thereafter, the lion roared the first time. The bear growled for the first time. The panther squealed for the first time. The snake bit for the first time. And it rained for the first time. Prior to man sin in the Garden of Eden, there's no writing about it raining. It didn't rain until after we sin.
As the pattern gets more intricate and subtle, being swept along is no longer enough.
Released at intervals in your life to feel the yearning, the longing to become whole. Now, admittedly, many people in the peaks and troughs of life lose sight of that urge. But even when one loses sight of the urge itself remains.
Bonfires glow from every hilltop. People dance in the streets. Well, that's the background and the setting to tonight's extra special edition of my show.
The urge, the seeking, the desire for wholeness is innate in consciousness. It is instinctive within consciousness. It is a part of consciousness, somewhat as a compass, pointing consciousness in the right direction.
Because I can't see what that television audience reaction is. And if I could see it, it wouldn't be telling me anything because I'm in their home.
Endlessly for nobody, which we did.
Through it all, the newspaper men sat gazing with partly open mouths at the ceiling of the Senate caucus chamber, or looking down briefly to scribble a random note.
Sign of respect or affection. So again, we can't even look later on in the time period of human evolution for easy clues to gender, much less at the beginning time periods.
What's the word, turd? Hey, do you also drive a boat car?
A what?
Like, you gave me a ride in a car that was also a boat?
No, man, I don't have a boat car. I don't know what you're talking about. Man, this must be like parallel universe night. You know that cat that was just in here? Just ran out the door? But he comes up to the counter, you know, and I say, what's the word, turd? And he lays down this burrito, and he kind of looks at me, kind of stares at me, and then he says, I have but recently returned from the valley of the shadow of death. I am rapturously breathing in all the odors and essences of life. I've been to the brink of total oblivion. I remember and ferment a desire to remember everything.
So, what'd you say to that?
Desired by you, accepted, and loved.
in the silver mirrors of your eyes.
Emphasis upon the rhythm, and that may seem strange if you are not used to it. I remember the great English poet William Morris coming in a rage out of some lecture hall where somebody had recited a passage out of his Sigurd Valstrand. "It gave me a devil of a lot of trouble," said Morris, "to get that thing into verse. It gave me the devil of a lot of trouble to get into verse the poems that I am going to read, and that is why I will not read them as if they were prose. I am going to begin with a poem of mine called The Lake Isle of Innisfree, because if you know anything about me, you will expect me to begin with it. It is the only poem of mine which is very widely known. When I was a young lad in the town of Sligo, I read Porro's essays and wanted to live in a hut on an island in Loch Gill called Innisfree, which means Heather Island. I wrote the poem in London when I was about 23. One day in the Strand, I heard a little tinkle of water and saw on a shop window a little jet of water balancing a ball on the top. It was an advertisement, I think, of cooling drinks, but it set me thinking of Sligo and lake water. I think there is only one obscurity in the poem. I speak of noon as a purple glow. I must have meant by that the reflection of Heather in the water.
Put a little boy with that, that's always dressed well and taught to have good manners, it's probably the best diversion you can have.
At various times, your mother would hit you with her fists, she beat you with a wire hanger, would scream at you in incandescent rages that you describe. She tried to break up every relationship you ever had with a girl.
people are different in their home. They're safe, they're solid, they're the authority, they're in their home.
In selecting the data to use and in combining different sources of data, then we do know that subjectivity plays a role. And again, I want to be very clear that I'm not suggesting that scientists would ever consciously manipulate data, but rather we're talking at the level of preconception or of assumption. And the basic guiding theme of this lecture will be that gender falls prey to this. To start off with a quick example, before we get into more detailed ones, I'd like to describe for you a diorama that can be seen at the American Museum of Natural History in New York. This is a wonderful museum, as anyone who has been there can attest. There have been very spectacular exhibits related to human evolution. At one point, the exhibit was mounted called Ancestors, in which all the original dug-up skeletons of hominids were brought in one place, from East Africa, from Europe, from Asia, not casts, not replicas, but almost all of the original bones. And being in that room was really quite a moving thing, a moving event and experience for many of us. But there is also there, as a permanent fixture, a diorama. And what it shows us are two hominids, a male and a female, in a particular pose. In order to describe this, I need to give you some background. The hominids in question are Australopithecus afarensis. In other words, those hominids that Lucy is part of. And they're depicting bipedal walking across the African savanna with a volcano in the background. We know that in 1977 there was a very great discovery that backed up what we had already learned by that point about afarensis bipedalism. This was at the site of Mary Leakey in Laetoli, Tanzania, East Africa. And what was found was trails of footprints of hominids, of birds, of elephants, of creatures great and small, in other words. What had happened was that there was a volcanic explosion with ash laid down, and then all these creatures walked across this area, and then after their footprints were laid down, a second volcano exploded, sealing the footprints, making them, first of all, clearly and easily datable, and second, clearly and easily analyzable.
What did they do? They produced those drug laws in the middle 80s, which made a 100-to-1 disproportion between powder cocaine and crack cocaine in penalties. What do we have as a result of that disproportion now? The largest prison population in the history of the United States, the largest per capita jail population, prison population in the world. We have whole cities in America where young African-American men between 18 and 44, over half of them are in at some point of transit through the justice system because of that disproportion.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
Are using to, you know, to really express very meaningful and deep things about human life. So it's really an interesting period right now. And
well, what could I say? I said, if you're going to microwave that burrito, I want you to poke holes in the plastic wrapping because they explode, and I'm tired of cleaning up your little burrito doings. You dig me? Because the jalapenos dry up. They're like little wheels.
I want to chop around the roof in 3 minutes to Meigs Field. At Meigs Field, I want the Learjet prepped and a plan filed with St. Louis.
With women, and especially your wife, she hated and abused your wife, slipped her a Mickey at one point to knock her out, hired guys to sleep with her and then take pictures to prove to you that she was being...
Now touch your face.
Hi, this is Ethan. Thanks for listening. Hi, Ethan. Thanks for Ethan. Hi, listening. Hi, Ethan. Hi. Hi, this is Ethan.
Hi, this is Ethan from the Defunct Radio Show and It's Only Dark. Thanks for listening to the Mountain Stream.
Singers accustomed to singing in Italian. Italian operatic singing, by definition, requires huge, fat, endless vowels with which a singer develops their tone. And my friend, for a singer, tone is the most important thing. The longer I can hold a note, the more I can develop tone, the more I feel good about myself, and by extension, the composer who's given me that tone to sing. So long vowels equals tone equals opera singing.
In the middle of the show. No, past and future. And text can say anything. It can even undo everything that we know to be existing right now. Extreme peaks and valleys about the regular soundtrack, the regular matrix up to now. Get under it, go below it. Of course, you can also be mired in miles and miles of time. Time that takes a long time to come around again. New Metaphysics show's always on. I mean, there's only a couple hundred, maybe a thousand or 2 hours at this point, but it's always potentially on. Did I cover everything?
If there's one battle that has to be fought, along with the battle against the death penalty, the battle against all these mandatory sentences, it is against the drug war as a very simple, crude weapon to put an entire ethnic group away.
Here in the binary system, That's all we got here. We've done a lot with it. But you know what happens when you get past number three? All hell breaks loose. As we can all bear witness to, of course.
Put many of the people in prison for life. And because they're felons, to deny them their vote forever. You are disenfranchising a substantial section of the population.
Of course, we are working with the elementals. Archetypes. You've heard about it. You know, when you go to the Heisenberg hole, the hole in the middle of anything well meant, still archetypes, even in the eye of the big hurricane in the sky, from which all is made. Step down, of course, from the big all in the big sky, which is a good thing, I think. Otherwise, we might actually be existential. A big fear for many. Big fear for everybody. It's part of the fabric. Boilerplate metaphysics there. Of course, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Sleep being what it can be and all, it allows for many stories, many reruns, always high ratings. That's where they got the ratings on TV from. We got the one side and the other side and the binary interacting as they will do. The current continuous kiss. Hello and goodbye.
Faithful. She did all these things, and
I was there.
Yeah, and maybe for an old scam artist, the biggest insult was that she would later try to scam you.
Well, it has to come home.
It is as a compass within consciousness itself. From the smallest consciousness unit to the most complex consciousness unit,
holographic projection,
the human being.
Very phenomenal concept.
A compass. The guide consciousness. A compass. Directing consciousness.
You know, the occult, the secret only for the few. You've heard about it in previous shows. Assuming you've heard previous shows. Assuming there were previous shows. This could be the first one. there are laws, parameters. This is a system. It does have a hole in the middle of it, which can move. Floating around in this is the current matrix, current overlay. Place to get to somewhere else from. It's being a binary system and all. Known unknown. Send out a net, capture meaning, or not. It's alive. Circles moving, and the binary transpose. Circle moving. The four directions. The binary system. Of course, we're not any of those things. Whenever you get three or more variables.
She would let her not try, she would later do it. When I was younger, I just didn't know anything else. That's what I knew, you know. Most kids, they have the normal household where they come home, they have dinner, go to bed, wake up, go to school. Part of my household was that...
I want to know whether you're smiling or frowning.
The last two shows were parts one each. Wonder if this might be a trend. Separating something and only having one there. They teach you not to do that in early school.
Go steal stuff. I didn't know anything different.
WsNewMetaphysics.com. Hone in. All download. All stream. All the damn time. Half an economy, and since nothing's half, there's no economy at all. Ideally, every show you download, you get paid. So you gotta take it on the cuff for now. Bill me. For now, I am out of harmony. And all the endless extrapolations, real and imaginary separations, layered upon layer, stacked, stack upon stack, like column inches. Thank God it's just a movie.
Today are the most significant players and influences on video art.
Well,
number, in addition to
yeah,
yourself.
There's a number of very good artists and a number of my colleagues get
to keep it moving in the right direction.
at a time when your journey was a journey of separating and forgetting, when you, oh, before time, separated from God, Goddess, all that is, in search of what? Yourself. Within you, a compass of wholeness, seeking wholeness as you went upon your journey. Go.
All writing at the same time, and the ideas of how you establish priority are a little tricky in that time frame, as we'll talk about more later on. But some of the names that pop out of this time that you might hear at one point or another are William Stanley Jevons and Francis Edgeworth, Karl Menger, Friedrich von Weiser, Eugene von Böhm-Bawerk, Leon Walras, Vilfredo Pareto in Switzerland, John Bates Clark in the United States. But they're
going home, forgetting. Separating, forgetting, separating, separating, forgetting, rounding that bend.
Daniel, and he was stroking my head, and I just was in bliss. And when I had the operation, so I think I just fell into the pattern that you described.
Two girls in a restaurant, didn't know the hookers was lesbians, till I got home and started texting them. Shit they was doing was excellent. Yeah, yeah, show was perfect. One with the tits, you know the girls fit.
You know, if you don't want to talk, that's okay. But I hope you will, because you're very direct, and I like that. And I like what you have to say.
And getting so peaceful means the patient's going to need less anesthesia, because they're already more relaxed.
Some very good artists, Mary Lucier, Dara Birnbaum, there's a number of Europeans, Marcel Odenbach, a number of them are in the exhibition.
The list of names is not as important as the fact there's just a whole group of people meeting at this time. Now, what's the key thought in terms of...
A journey going home now, a journey coming home, a journey of remembering, a journey of reuniting. And all the while this compass, built into consciousness, innate, instinctive, wholeness, shaking,
so that whatever you would see if you were able to peek in, you're not really seeing the same thing you're seeing when they buy a ticket in a theater or when they go to an iPhone. But from my point of view, as long as there's three people watching at the same time, you have an opportunity to do much better with film and design and creation of that film. Greater shot at preparation. I have taken up to 6 months for a joke that flashed on the screen in less than 30 feet. It's prohibitive in this medium to do that, so we have to do it the best way we can with speed, and that's why I'll never like television like I do film. It's film that's like giving birth to a baby. You take 9 to 10 months of your life to see that all the jokes work. You give them care.
And so every particle of nature can be thought of in the same abstract way.
It is a compass within consciousness. It is a compass within your consciousness. It is a compass pointing consciousness in the right direction, and can be a compass pointing you in the right direction as well. Wholeness. Seeking wholeness. When in the living of life you find yourself lost in the troughs or in the peaks, no, you also can get lost in the peaks, in the wonder, in the excitement, in the exhilaration, in the beauty. You can get lost in the living of life, in the loving of life. When you're lost in the troughs or in the peaks of living, or when you're tangled in the twists of decision and choice making, look to wholeness. Look to what can bring you closer to becoming whole. A decision about a career, or about a move, or about a relationship, or about any number of choices and decisions one makes in life. One of the criteria, not the singular, but one of the criteria, which of these choices, which of these decisions
self, what we are is just this logical structure. Place to momentarily house all the abstractions. It was a time to become conscious, to give form and coherence to the mystery. And I had been a part of that. It was a gift. Life was raging all around me, and every moment was magical. I loved all the people, dealing with all the contradictory impulses. That's what I love the most, connecting with the people. Looking back, that's all that really mattered. When it was over, all I could think about was how
is a right choice. Adding to my grace, adding to my complexity, which of these?
The patient is absolutely terrified, and you have to scrape them off the ceiling and really knock them out. Anesthesia, so there's less anesthesia to come out of the body after the recovery room.
Not having after effects that were detrimental. So I think I just fell into the pattern that you're describing.
You did. And getting so peaceful means the patient's going to need less anesthesia because they're already more relaxed, and the patient is absolutely terrified, and you have to scrape them off the ceiling and really knock them out with a lot of anesthesia.
Children learn our immensely complicated languages all around the world with little direct instruction.
On any campaign stop, because as we all know, the crowd of people that actually get through to talk to him is so tightly controlled.
Amphetamines each and every morning before I come to work.
Which makes me vibrate. I lose approximately 15 pounds.
It's really hard to work in the same office as
vibration.
You.
And between that and your tanness, well, let's just say you look like some sort of android.
Actually, I look more like George Hamilton, hepped up on goofballs.
Goofballs.
See, one of my hobbies has become letting you on fire and seeing if you notice.
What?
So it's a vacation, vacation.
Have we mentioned that nothing has happened of any interest in the last few days?
Yeah, well...
P! Pessimism! Pessimism! Beginning with the letter P!
It appears to be relatively effortless for young infants to do this, and we don't sit them down to teach them this.
There's less anesthesia to come out of the body afterwards in the recovery room.
Speaking of anesthesia, have you found anesthesiologists willing to say healing statements and participate in this way?
Yes, the book has a lot of the research explaining that even though we're unconscious, we still hear everything that's being said in the... Even though we're unconscious, we still hear everything that's being said in the operating room. And that research has been done by a lot of anesthesiologists. And so they're very supportive, and often they'll say, I always talk to my patients and tell them palliative statement.
Real estate also includes any improvements on the land, such as homes, fences, streets, or factories.
In terms of marginalism, what makes marginal thinking different than other kinds of thinking?
As the ripple in a field. So Mr. Higgs proposes that there exists a new field of nature. It's not an electric field, it's not a magnetic field, it's what we now call the Higgs field. And if you have a ripple in that field, then you'd call it a Higgs particle.
Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work.
Pursuing your dream requires work, mental, emotional, and physical. Work is what we don't want to do, but we do anyway to get something else. To reach your dream, you'll be called upon to do a lot of things you don't want to do.
Unlike most birds, which confine their singing to the daylight hours, mockingbirds often sing at night, especially during the breeding season. Here's the mockingbird one more time.
Now, the really unusual thing about this Higgs field, the thing that makes it special, it was the sort of brainstorm of these folks like Weinberg and Salam and Glashow and Higgs all putting the story together, was what if there's this field that permeates space. It's not zero, it's finite everywhere. Inside of atoms, where there's all that empty space between the electrons and the quarks, outside, even in deep, dark, outer space, there's a Higgs field everywhere, like a uniform background that we all live in. This is a wacky idea. I mean, normally we think about dark outer space as being pretty close to a vacuum. There's a few photons that travel through dark outer space because they're starlight, but pretty much what we imagine when we think of fields is you've got a charge and there's an electric field that's very strong near it, and then that field fades away. So as you get far away from things, you expect that field should get very small. But not the Higgs. In order to make sense of the weak interaction, in order to make the theory mathematically consistent, we were obligated to postulate that there's this Higgs field everywhere. So as I walk through the room, I'm walking through like a sea of Higgs field.
When I was old enough to realize the difference, I went through some confusing times. This is my family. This is what I knew. This is who I loved. As I got older, I had a brother that I felt needed to protect.
Is the right direction bringing me closer to a sense of wholeness? Wholeness can be your compass. It can be your guide. It is innate, we say again. It is instinctive in consciousness. It is therefore innate and instinctive in your expression and reflection of consciousness. When you find yourself lost, when you find yourself caught in the twists, tangled in those twists, seek wholeness. Seek that which will bring you closer to becoming whole, and you can find your way. You can find the right way. And in this year called the year of union, it calls you to confront, it calls you to encounter this phenomenon called union. And in your response, not only to your needs and desires, not only for safe haven and safe harbor amidst the turmoil, tumult, and uncertainty, respond by seeking wholeness in search of triumph. One way to do that is through living the truer life, new maps to happiness. Another way, by working with the defining moments of love. Tonight we focus on yet another, a different means to achieve that sense of union in search of triumph, that sense of union through intimacy. Intimacy that works, union, co-union, and communion. But regardless of what year it is, if you are drawn to this evening, if you are drawn to listen to the recording, some part of you is telling you that it's time. It's time for you to focus on and work with intimacy in your reality.
Only after 25 years, I've done quite a variety of them. I have never, in fact, worked on a pipeline project, but I've done large cultural resource management surveys for federal agencies, such as about 46,000 acres for the Bureau of Land Management in the El Malpais National Conservation Area, which is associated with the El Malpais National Monument near Grants, New Mexico. That my dissertation was based on a series of projects that we did on White Sands Missile Range that were funded by the Strategic Defense Initiative and later the Strategic Defense Command. And that began with a military exercise called Border Star 85, where we surveyed 225 square kilometers of the Tula.
J. Gresham Machen. He was unmarried and without a car. He rented a car and looked around for a driver. And lo and behold, the Lord, I was not in the seminary. I was a graduate student in church history. And so he picked me up, almost literally. And driving with him was a great and a rare privilege. I learned more than I'm afraid many of his students did as I scared the daylights out of him as, as he drove. And there are many others to whom I should give tribute, but I do not have the time. What I can bring to you, I do so as the Lord will guide me. I have pointed out to you there's a crisis. Our Calvinistic heritage has been swept off the scene of action. It has been replaced by a variety of heritages, such as they are, and they have brought us to the brink of catastrophe.
It's not a Gentile mouth.
Ooh, maybe it's a discussion we can have.
Okay.
But let's not start something we're not going to finish.
Right.
But in terms of the, what was the question about makeup?
Oh, did you like being covered up by makeup, and did it make you feel less vulnerable, or, you know, less like Gene Simmons, Gene Klein, or your birth name?
I don't feel covered up any more or less than any girl feels covers up.
Why don't we all turn on together?
Well, I did.
Like this, I wish I had a penis.
Well, you're tuning in to this week's take two.
I'm recording space. This one this time.
Yeah.
An aide appeared occasionally, sidling along the wall behind the committee to pass a note to one of the senators. The audience, I knew from waiting my turn on earlier occasions, was following me closely and on occasion exchanging a critical aside on my facts, logic, or diction.
And I'd say, well, why don't I just leave him a note and just tell Stephen or Mr. Warren, whoever, that I dropped by. Well, I'm sorry, but no one can read here but Pastor Bradford. I said, well, I'll leave the note. Take it to Pastor Bradford. And every time I would ask her anything about some contemporary thing, she'd say, we know not of what you speak, with these big wide eyes. And in comes this barrel maker and starts talking to me, and we go, we know not of what you speak. Where is it then that you're headed? And I said, I'm headed for Provincetown. We know of no Provincetown. We know of the Cape of the Cod. But we hear there's no fit drinking water at the end of it. And how then it is you're traveling? Are you traveling by ship or by foot? I said, well, as a matter of fact, I'm driving a Plymouth Reliant. We know of no such thing.
So therefore we can draw as a conclusion that rain is one of the results of sin. Lord didn't rain until after we had sinned in the Garden of Eden. Prior to the sinning of man, there was no cloud. In the paradisical celestial, there was not a speck of cloud in the sky. After we sinned, then it rained. Yes, my brothers and sisters, when God destroyed the world the first time, he destroyed the world with rain. For it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And the only survivors were Noah, his family, and two beasts of every kind. Everything else had drowned.
As the testimony gave way to questions, more senators came in. This is perhaps the most trying time of any hearing. Each in his turn apologizes graciously for being late and then asks the question that has occurred to him on the way over.
Looking back over 50 years of broadcasting, wading through the BBC archives, we picked out several people from the past and invited them to participate in tonight's show.
I'm looking back, there's nothing left in my head, and I can't forget. I know it well, there's no way out. I lost my mind.
Beach Boys and Little Honda, a tune that Brian wrote back about October of 64. This is Joan Puter on K-Earth, Stereo 101. When's the last time you were on a Honda, Brian?
A few years ago, yeah, when I crashed my Honda.
The beloved names of broadcasting, the people whose voices became as familiar to millions of people as their own front door.
You did?
I fell off a bike.
Did you have a helmet on?
Yeah, I didn't get hurt real bad. I ran into a palm tree, side of a palm tree, and I fell off it. I never went riding since. I decided not to after that.
What we're going to do right now is play a recording by a group called the Beatles.
Anyway, without more ado, let me name just a few of the voices you'll hear tonight. They are, in order of size, Henry Crum, Minnie Bannister, Colonel Bloodnock, Eccles, Neddy Seagoon, and many more. Brought to you by those three anonymous gentlemen who for years have so selflessly sacrificed their real selves.
And what would the effect on me be? Well, it depends on the interaction of the particles in my body with the Higgs field. So that's also a part of your assumptions. Right now, all we're doing is playing a what-if game. That's how theory often begins. You just say, well, what if there was a field of nature that was everywhere? And what if most of the particles, the other fundamental particles, interacted with it?
To work with your already existing intimacies, to work with expanding, or to work with new intimacy. Perhaps you are at the time of listening or at the time of attending, lost in the peaks and troughs, or tangled in the twists with seemingly too many decisions and too many choices. And decisions seeming obscure. Perhaps it is wholeness that you seek. To find direction. Regardless of what year. Wholeness. To keep you on the right course, the right path. Moving in the right direction. Or perhaps not the troughs and peaks, not the twists and tangles of decisions and choices, but rather perhaps you are engaged in loving and caring and looking to either secure or to grow that love and to expand that caring. You know so much of love and so much of caring. And you do love and you do care. And you know how to grow that love. Bringing about greater love and caring. Even love and caring that is grand. But you see, it is intimacy that can bring the more real of love, the more real of love and caring, can bring the more real of love and caring into the illusion and anchor it in manifestation. It is intimacy that can bring the lofty, grounding it in new reality. Intimacy is the bridge that links love and caring. Many of you have experienced times of great caring, intense caring, immense caring, but were perplexed by not knowing how to love. I don't know how to love in this time and place, the space of such caring. My heart seems to be breaking with caring. I don't know what to do, how to be, how to love. I can't seem to coordinate. It has been the reverse for others, where you have been swept up in so much love, ecstasy, exalted love. But a shame to admit, sometimes even to yourself, that you couldn't muster the caring. I love to beat the band, but I can't seem to focus on caring. It's like the two are out there somewhere, disjointed, disconnected, not at effect of one another. I care so much, why can't I love? I love so much, why can't I care?
And I also had a stepfather who needed protecting also, and I thought I was the only one who could do it. And so when you take those type of emotions, for every time that I got hit, I'd have a month of absolute pure joy. Growing up on a beachfront property in Honolulu is not a bad way to live. I miss that sometimes. You know, our properties, you know, we weren't living in welfare housing. We're living in mansions and beautiful homes. And outside references would envy what I was. They didn't know what was going on the inside, but that envy also made it even more confusing.
Was it fun? The con, the getting away with it, the stealing?
Best way to put it is during the time, all I felt was tension. I, if someone had asked me at that moment, say, are you having fun? I don't think I could have said yes to that.
The president tried to keep up the pressure.
Well, one of the things that would happen is, as I'm walking, if the particles in my body are interacting with that Higgs field, there's going to be some sort of resistance to my motion. Now, what I'm trying to do here is to describe some very formal mathematics and make it concrete. And you have to appreciate, I'm always doing this in this course, and here I'm really stretching the metaphor about as far as I can.
But I do feel the void now. I miss that excitement sometimes.
But being with your mother was extraordinarily fun, you're right.
It was. It could be. 90% of the time, this woman, I mean, if they were going to put a definition for charisma, it should say Shante Kimes. The woman was just a powerful force. No one could resist it. You'd probably succumb to it.
If what I was saying was literally correct, then you would imagine that all objects would come to a halt because they're walking through this goo. And that's not what happens. An object in motion remains in motion. Newton's laws are still true, even in the presence of the Higgs. But an object in motion feels more sluggish than it would if there was no Higgs field around. That's probably the best way to think about it. So we're kind of like fish underwater, swimming through this water, and it's always the fish who are the last to notice the water.
But I've already said that the youngest infants, even from birth, already live in a linguistic world. I don't believe that we should make a distinction between pre-linguistic and linguistic.
The question is always the same, and the senator does not know that it has been asked before.
What ingredients do you look for in a script before you decide to film it?
Funny notion. Is it a funny notion?
Would you explain that?
Yeah. A man and a woman are in an automobile accident and their two kids get killed. That's not a notion for me. We don't read that. Notion. A man wins the $64,000 question. They pay him off in new bills. Brand new bills. They're so new, they stick together. He's so afraid that he's going to give more than one bill when he buys anything. He don't buy nothing. Fuck it, I'll keep this money for the rest of my life because I can't give it away. That's a notion. That would spark me. That would make me think.
So it has to have comedic value for you, or for you to be able to see the comedic value in the script before you'll even attack it.
Oh, yeah.
Let me give you a few quick examples just to sort of bring you into the mindset of what's going on here. A lot of amusement parks, you're probably aware, charge you one big fee when you come into the park, and then after that, all the rides are free. What would the incentives be for people who are riding rides if you came into the park and you had to pay for each ride individually? In one case, your marginal payment, the extra payment for each ride, is zero. In the other case, your marginal payment for each ride is some positive amount. And economists argue that focusing on the margin will give you a different lesson about how people behave. Similarly, at my university where I park, what I do is I pay for a parking permit once every 3 months. But once I've paid for that permit, I can go in and out of the lot as many times as I want. Now, my behavior in terms of parking and so on might be different if I had to pay $3 every single day instead of paying it all at once up front and then being able to do whatever I want. Thinking about the margin is going to be different than thinking about a upfront payment. This example is particularly clear if you think about workers and how they're paid. If you think about workers and you think about someone who's paid a salary, no matter much how much they produce, or someone who's paid according to exactly how much they produce, or someone who works by the hour as opposed to someone who's paid a salary.
And it's there, it's important for them, but they're going to notice other fish first, and they're going to notice the effects, maybe, of the water causing waves, causing things to move around. We live in this stuff. It interacts with our bodies. It's what creates the inertia, or in effect, the mass of all the particles. And yet, it took us a long time just to recognize the possibility of its existence.
I said, people think in pictures. They understand that a trash can is where you throw things away.
She wanted you to be happy. You were the happiest individual in the world. If she wanted you to be miserable, she could accomplish that also.
And often with the same people, you write that there was she would describe a burning people using a mop.
Three, if you graph the numbers of any system.
Shantae's mind, I don't think anyone will ever figure it out. I know I haven't. If it served her purpose to make sure that you were a friend and that we're happy, then that's what she could do. If it served her purpose for you to be afraid of her, she can do it also.
Up now at the Museum of Modern Art. And I think the influences on the field, the one thing that's very exciting about video that has turned me on since I first saw this glowing image, you know, way back in 1970, is that it can be so much, you know. If you think that what this electronic image can give us, can bring us, a message from the President of the United States that's going to change world history, and a moving pattern of abstract electronic imagery.
That's in their mind can cause them to really believe in it. It's like a magic thing, but yet they'll go through it and duplicate it anyway. You see, that's the part of it. It's a very difficult situation for an electrical engineer to do something that he doesn't understand, or anybody. So, okay, they overcome that barrier. Then the other part is the competition for funds. That all the money for these sorts of projects comes from a few agencies and a few committees. These committees have their fixed ideas about what they'll fund and what they won't fund. So if De Palma comes on the scene, he's just one more guy going after some of this Star Wars money, DOD money, anything. And they don't want that. But De Palma isn't bothered. He's he sees the end machine as filling a need on the planet that's virtually inexhaustible. Everybody wants one. People all the time, you know, everybody wants one. So that's fine. And Westinghouse, General Electric, they can get in on it. Joe Newman, fine. And I'm not bothered. The other thing about the patents is that as a business decision, a patent is a thing which the business world has created because it helps good business. It helps to plan financially. It allows you to raise money from backers who don't understand what you're doing because you can give them the security of having a patent. If this planet will develop a worldwide patent protection system so that when you patent, you get patent protection all over the world, then your machine can't be taken to Singapore or Korea or someplace and reproduced, and all your research and development money is essentially taken away with it. So from my point of view as a businessman, it's not worthwhile to spend a couple hundred thousand or whatever Newman's spending until it's a worldwide system. I totally agree with getting a patent. I think it's a wonderful idea. It's terrific security. It's part of the business system. But commerce is worldwide, whereas our patent system is only United States. And there are worldwide patents, of course, but they're only in civilized countries, you know, that are willing to do this, and somebody will always find some island or offshore somewhere to get around you. So once we have a world protection system, then we can be serious about patenting, and it'll become an institution which will have some respect again, which is what we want, of course, but those are my thoughts anyway.
Okay, well, one more brief question.
Sure.
What's the time prognosis on the first applicable end machine that the Indian government wants to apply?
They're building it right now, and I don't know how long it's going to take them. I get progress reports about once a month, but they're working on it. It's under construction right now, so it can't be too much longer. I mean, when Roy said to me he wanted me to come and be on, I said, you know, I would much rather come on and say, hip, hip, hooray, we made the self-running machine, it's in my garage, here's a tape, listen to it run. I would have liked to have said that tonight. I don't like to say, well, we still have a few more things to do before we can do it, and the Indians are still working on it. As soon as somebody closes the circuit and we have a real miracle, then you'll be the first to know about it. Right now, we're just very close, that's all.
You.
Well, thank you. We're all...
Hello.
Hello. Good evening. You gentlemen are putting on a very good show tonight. And I had a couple of little questions for Mr. De Palma.
Sure. There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on Tom Apple. Shame on you.
You're totally confused again, aren't you?
Fool me.
First of all, I bumped into something rather interesting. It was in a scientific journal. And it said...
Gotcha.
The article just rather interesting. The charm of this device is that although it doesn't accomplish very much, it'll run forever. I bumped into something rather interesting. It was in a scientific journal, and it said at the end, the article just rather interesting. The charm of this device is that although it doesn't accomplish very much, it'll run forever. Interesting. The charm of this device... ...is that, although it doesn't accomplish very much, it'll run forever.
This entire notion of oneself, what we are, is just this logical structure, placed to momentarily house all the abstractions. It was a time to become conscious, to give form and coherence to the mystery, And I had been a part of that.
It is intimacy, people. It is intimacy that is the bridge.
It's a gift. Life was raging all around me, and every moment was magical.
That links love and caring.
I loved all the people dealing with all the contradictory impulses.
It is intimacy that binds them and bonds them, so that the two, love and caring, can become one.
It's a very formal idea. And, you know, when I was first introduced in graduate school to the Higgs mechanism, the mathematical framework, you know, there's assumption after assumption being piled on. We're assuming a new field, we're assuming that it's not zero, we're assuming that the particles interact with it in specific ways, and then you start to now draw some conclusions, and those conclusions match all the weak data. In fact, lots more than just the weak data, the masses of the particles, everything begins to tie in.
Functioning in concert, in symphony with one another.
That's what I love the most, connecting with the people. Looking back, that's all that really mattered.
This is a physics journal. About 30 years ago. Maybe these things sort of appear and disappear, you know. There was one thing that I was kind of curious about. Had you ever bumped into anybody who was doing work along the lines of Townsend Brown?
Yes, I even talked to him once, but this was 30 years ago, and I was just a child in college. He's the one who's putting the high-voltage capacitors in the vacuum tank and observing a thrust developed, I think, in the direction of the positive plate. Is that the man?
Yeah. He also had these things flying around rooms.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Did they actually do that, or was that just hype?
It wasn't hype. No, he did the experiments, and it's an unexplained phenomenon. I think he's got a couple of patents.
And he puts a question to these machines. Is there a God?
Kierkegaard's last words were, "Sweep me up."
If the world that we are forced to accept is false and nothing is true, then everything is possible.
On the way to discovering what we love, we will find everything we hate, everything that blocks our path to what we desire.
Comfort will never be comfortable for those who seek what is not on the market.
A systematic questioning of the idea of happiness.
We'll cut the vocal cords of every empowered speaker. We'll yank the social symbols through the looking glass. We'll devalue society's currency.
To confront the familiar.
Society is a fraud so complete and venal that it demands to be destroyed beyond the power of memory to recall its existence.
Where there is fire, we will carry gasoline.
To interrupt the continuum of everyday experience and all the normal expectations that go with it.
To live as if something actually depended on one's actions.
To rupture the spell of the ideology of a commodified consumer society so that our repressed desires of a more authentic nature can come forward.
To demonstrate the contrast between what life presently is and what it could be.
To immerse ourselves in the oblivion of action to know we're making it happen.
It will be an intensity never before known in everyday life to exchange love and hate, life and death, terror and redemption, repulsions and attractions.
An affirmation of freedom so reckless and unqualified that it amounts to a total denial of every kind of restraint and limitation.
Hey, old man, what you doing up there?
I'm not sure.
You need any help getting down, sir?
No, I don't think so.
Stupid bastard.
No worse than us. He's all action and no theory. We're all theory and no action.
Can't get fooled again.
We don't get fooled.
Loud and clear.
Everything that creeps upon the earth has been killed as a result of the rain. As a result of the rain. Now, the fact that God had destroyed the world by rain, he looked at how dreadful and how hard man died. And it hurted him to see his creation, his own image, drowned. Thus God made a promise to himself and said that he would never destroy the world again by rain. Therefore God took some light from the rays of the sun and painted that light with his finger red, white, blue, green, yellow, and orange. And we know it as the rainbow. Slung it up behind his shoulder. Made it serve as a symbol to never let man die again by the rain. You gonna pray with me, aren't you? Well, what's wrong with you all this morning? By the rain. Yes, sir. But now, even though rain may be classed as one of the penalties of sin, it is still of great significance and importance. For we need rain. We need rain for both physical and spiritual reasons.
Senator Robertson.
Well, Professor, we've been told by all the witnesses so far that present stock prices are not too high. What is your view on that? Senator Ives. You do not think we're faced with a bust, do you? Senator Monroney. I am wondering if there is any substance to the oft-repeated reason for the new high levels, that the stock market is merely catching up with the inflationary boom. Senator Payne. I am sorry I came in late. Would you want to indicate whether or not some of these increases have perhaps more truly reflected the true value of stocks in relation to their earnings? The experienced witness observes that the question, though it bears a resemblance to some already asked, has been formulated in a novel way. Then he gives an answer which is the same in substance, but decently different in form from those offered before. The audience is especially appreciative of able handling of such details. Toward the end of the morning, interest appeared to increase. First one and then several photographers appeared, then a newsreel camera or two. Through the weariness that develops with even so modest a sojourn in the public eye, I thought I sensed a certain tension. I remember noticing that the normal attrition of the committee, which on a subject such as economics can leave one in a matter of an hour or so, with only the chairman and a precautionary member of the opposition, was not taking place. All senators were staying, and soon I was the only one in the room who did not know the reason. The stock market was taking a nasty plunge.
In using software doesn't call for big sacrifices. Just tiny little sacrifices are enough. Like learning a command line interface if we don't have a GUI interface program yet. Like doing the job in this way because we don't have a free software package to do it that way yet. Like paying some money to a company that's going to develop a certain free software package so that you can have it in a few years. Various little sacrifices that we can all make.
In this lovely way that we've seen, the Standard Model is a beautiful, self-contained theory which describes the world.
And they all start up, and there's all those lights flashing and wheels turning and things like that. And after about 10 minutes of that kind of thing, a voice comes forth, and the voice says, "Now there is." Well, I bought this wonderful machine, IBM machine, and it's there. And I'm rather an authority on God, so I identified the God, and it seemed to me an Old Testament God with a lot of rules and no mercy.
He's unforgiving.
You catch you picking up sticks on Saturday, and you're out. That's all.
Whether you are seeking wholeness in search of triumph, or seeking wholeness in search of direction, or looking for the greater, even the more grand, of love and caring, intimacy can be your answer. Intimacy. You know the words. Closeness, tenderness, vulnerability, trust. Reducing the fear of humiliation. Caring, loving. Being understood so that you can be free to be understanding. You know the words. Intimacy. It is an integral link in your chain of momentum. Chain that begins with love and ends with love. Intimacy is the link between love and magic. In the living of life, it is the bridge between love and caring. In the realm of momentum, it is the link between love and magic. As we've already said, intimacy is the bridge, the binding, the bonding of love and caring. And intimacy is a powerful component. It is an essential component in creating union. Be that the union within self, wholeness. The co-union with those outside yourself. Or that of communion. Not an ecclesiastical religious experience, but a sacred experience.
I believe that we are multidimensional beings, and I've learned so much about it, but in those early days, I didn't know where it was.
Sure.
But we live in this dimension, and at the time when our particular job and task is done, we enter a state or a transitional nature that we call death, where the body shuts down and frees the spiritual and ethereal body, and then you return to where you came from, and you move on to go to be to cities and crystal cities and cities of lights, or levels of consciousness where you go and look back through the information, see your relatives.
Can you remember, Daniel, can you?
What you're describing right now by 100 billion. And that's the state you're in.
Kind of super consciousness.
More than super consciousness. You can merge with a thought. You don't have to think it. You can merge with it and re-experience it in any level, in any way you want to do it.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
As of now, I am in control here in the White House.
There's a new Terminator.
Here she comes to wreck the day!
Conquer it, you bastards!
Conquer her, you bastards!
Let the bloodbath begin!
She'll be back.
Chief
Jacqueline loud because she's in heat.
Sure as my name's Boris Karloff, this is a thriller.
Behold the quintessential devil in these matters, James T. Kirk, renegade and terrorist.
All right, time for crime spree.
That's the time we move against him. We'll have to take over the ship.
We're talking about mutiny, Scotty.
It is time.
Time.
Out of my way, jerk-ass!
It's mutiny! It's deliberate and just insane in space! The mutiny is charged, and encouragement of it.
From now on, they'll spell mutiny with my name.
Perhaps you think you're being mutiny.
Keep your rotten hands off me!
Now listen to the Brown Thrasher and remember to count the number of repetitions. Thrasher typically repeats phrases once or twice. Henry David Thoreau suggested a handle on the Thrasher's song, which calls to mind the pairing of the phrases. He felt the bird said, drop it, cover it up, cover it up, pull it up, pull it up, pull it up. Listen again to the emphatically delivered song of the Brown Thrasher.
Part of what this third near-death experience was and what happened, what we'll talk about is how I was able, because people from this show caring about me sent their prayers to me that gave me a level of energy that while I was going through this near-death experience, I entered whole new different levels.
Like the younger generation, and his idea was, oh, it's so horrible, I love it.
I'm John Copeland. I became the curator of the Pasadena Art Museum, which was the sort of foremost museum for showing contemporary art in Southern California. I first came across Warhol when I was in Los Angeles.
The cause of art. Tonight I can reveal they are Peter Sellers, Spike Milligan, and Harry Secombe. I shall make the introductions in order of waist measurements. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry Secombe.
Hello! Look at that.
Harry, when can you remember when you first made people laugh?
Yes, I suppose it was in a church social, you know. As when I was a lad, most of the social activity was centered around the church.
Yeah.
Now, for example, how many scripts, you've done 37 movies, how many scripts would you have to go through before you find the one that you feel you can really do something?
I wrote 16 of them. Is that telling you anything?
I didn't know that.
And I was a sort of a community idiot. Yeah, I was to make myself laugh and everybody else.
And they used to invite you along to make people laugh, did they?
Yes, but we had church socials and sort of outings, and I was always the one who did impressions of the vicar.
Yeah.
Vicar didn't like it.
He's molested all of his male victims. He may be impotent with members of the opposite sex. Our forensic psychologists have projected, though I'm not sure, that he may have had sexual relations with his mother.
You know, if you don't want to talk, that's okay. But I hope you will, because you're very direct, and I like that.
I came across a gallery called the Ferris Gallery, a little storefront gallery, like most of them there at the time. And I looked on the walls, and there were 32 Campbell soup cans.
And I like what you have to say.
Dr. Bloom showed me your article on surgical addiction in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry.
Huh?
Very interesting.
Bothers anyone, I recommend you looking around the world in which we live and shutting your fucking mouth. Either that or suffer a facial burn, your choice. For all this is America, land of freedom, so you have that option ahead of you. I now realize I smoke for simply one reason, and that is spite. I hate you non-smokers with all of my little black fucking heart. You obnoxious, self-righteous, whining little fucks. My biggest fear if I quit smoking is that I'll become one of you. Now, don't take that wrong. How many non-smokers do we have here tonight? By round of applause, non-smokers. Few of you. Good, because I have something to tell you. I do. I have something to tell you non-smokers, and this is for you and you only, because I know for a fact that you don't know this. And I feel it's my duty to pass on information at all times so that we can all learn, evolve, and get the fuck off this planet. Non-smokers, this is for you and you only. Ready? Non-smokers die every day. Sleep tight. You see, I know you entertain some type of eternal life fantasy because you do not smoke cigarettes. May I be the first to pop that little fucking bubble of yours?
That lives beyond. Words beyond description, beyond understanding. A transcendent, sacred moment.
When it comes to children, pre-linguistic is sometimes used for the youngest children that don't yet have speech. They may babble or have facial expressions or turn-taking in a sort of pre-speech type of way. But that transition, while important for language theorists, for us, we should see it all just part of growing up in a language-filled world. The human brain, even from infancy, as I have said before, is adapted to absorb information. We are adapted to enter into relationship with our social partners, and it is through language that we do that. So a key question for biological anthropology is, at what point do we see evidence for language in the hominid lineage? Three distinct possibilities can be envisioned to understand how language might have come about. The key thing to know is that each possibility is tied to a quite different definition of language. I want to go through the three possibilities with you and tie each one to a slightly different understanding of what language is all about. On the first view, language is unique to modern humans. It is a Homo sapiens phenomenon that evolved only with our species, and therefore it is of recent evolutionary origin. Now, typically, the definition of language that goes along with this view is that language should be equated with syntax, so that without syntax, language does not exist. The complex grammatical patterns of syntax are thus the key here. Syntax is often defined or loosely understood as word order, the order of the words that come in a sentence. But in fact, the definition that we need to use is a little bit more complicated, because the full definition of syntax should involve the relationship of elements in a sentence. For example, how the clauses relate to the main part of a sentence, what kind of hierarchical relationship there is among the elements of a sentence, what modifies what. Let's take a fairly complex sentence. I'll make one up. The ape with the hurt leg that just made a gesture is the alpha male of the community. Now, I think most people can follow that sentence. It's a little bit tangled. But from a syntactical point of view, it's complicated. The syntax there are all those clauses, the parts that are embedded within other parts of the sentence. And that's what syntax is all about. On this first view of language being unique to modern humans, only the modern human brain is capable of generating and dealing with syntax.
You can imagine that the incentives for the worker are somewhat different in terms of how much they produce or what sort of hours that they work. So, we want to focus on marginal thinking and think about how this idea of marginal thinking making incentives different changes our thinking about economics. Well, let's first of all talk about a marginalist theory of value. And a value, what I'm really talking about is the demand side and how people value things. One of the marginalists, William Stanley Jevons, wrote in his Theory of Political Economy, all these people wrote their own theory books, which was published in 1871. He said, "Repeated reflection and inquiry have led me to the somewhat novel opinion that value depends entirely on utility." Remember, utility is that term from Jeremy Bentham and the utilitarians. It depends on the amount of pleasure people are getting out of things. Prevailing opinions make labor rather than utility the origin of value. And there are even those who distinctly assert that labor is the cause of value. I show, on the contrary, that we have only to trace our carefully the natural laws of the variation of utility as depending on the quantity of a commodity in our possession in order to arrive at a satisfactory theory of exchange. So Jevons is saying, let's think about utility and let's think about how that works in a marginalist framework.
Big, not the size. Centered, no wood bug end around. Painted very carefully as if they hadn't really been painted. It looked as if they were like a piece of commercial art or something like that. The idea of paint itself manifesting itself on the surface like a real artist does wasn't there.
It's really an investment more than a sacrifice. We just have to have enough long-term view to realize it's good for us to invest in improving our society without counting the nickel and dimes of who gets how much of the benefit.
Intimacy, a powerful component, but also an essential component in creating union. Intimacy can be the most exhilarating, the most wondrous, the most magical of dreams in living life. Yet its absence or its lack can be the most frightening, the most painful, the most debilitating of nightmares in any life. Intimacy is the steely backbone of your growing, of your changing, of your evolving. And yet, at the same moment, it is the most fragile of fabrics in the motivation and the momentum of that very growth, of that very change, of that very evolution. It can be the most exhilarating, while its absence can be the most frightening.
Are we really to believe that settled, agreed, sanctified history includes that Lee Harvey Oswald rode away under an easy-to-trace alias for an inaccurate mail-order Italian rifle called by the Italian Army the, quote, humanitarian rifle? Because it never killed anyone when deliberately aimed.
And I was enormously struck by them. I was thunderstruck.
From that investment. I'd like to mention that there's a new approach to free software business being proposed by Tony Stanko, which he calls free developers, which involves a certain business structure which hopes eventually to pay out a certain share of the profits to all the authors of the free software who've joined the organization. And they're looking at the prospects of getting, I believe, some rather large government software development contracts in India now, because they're going to be using free software as the basis and having tremendous cost savings that way. And so now, I guess I should ask for questions.
You've been listening to a talk by Richard Stallman, founder of
anymore. And then the boat starts to dissolve on you. So I guess it's like to paraphrase Kenshin Rinpoche's thing about ice and water, it's sort of like the boat starts to dissolve into the living water of wisdom within, but then there you are floating in it. So generally when these paramitas are taught, they're taught in this order: generosity, discipline, patience, joyful exertion, meditation, and wisdom. But I would like to teach them in a different order, beginning with meditation, and then next will come wisdom, or prajna, then generosity, discipline, patience, and finally joyful exertion. And the reason I like this method of teaching them is because right at the beginning, it begins to undercut the moralistic, rigid connotations that some of these words have, such as discipline, exertion, even patience and generosity can have very rigid, moralistic, sort of dogmatic ring to them. And one of the concepts that we could start to shed right away in listening to these teachings are our old takes on these words. Because they're really just English translations of Sanskrit and Tibetan words trying to point in a direction of how we can begin to move from completely caught up, taking this all to be so fixed, how we can move from that and therefore begin to lighten up.
Most wondrous, while its absence can be the most painful. Most magical, while its absence can be the most debilitating. Steely, backbone, yet the most delicate of fabrics. Intimacy. You know a lot of intimacy. You have created it, sought it, and created it successfully, and you hold it dearly. Well, most of you do. All of you could. All of you can. All of you have the tools to do so. And yet, with all that intimacy is, and perhaps because of all that intimacy is, it is still frightening.
also liked a very casual kind of quality about how the back moved on top of the precise legs and the arms floated casually rather than looking sort of stiff and decorative like much of classical ballet. The other thing that was great for me was that you had to be an independent thinker because no one was ever there telling you how you had to do it. You had to grab onto the action, learn to do it for yourself, and think about how it ought to be done. I danced for 5 years for the Merce Cunningham Dance Company, and for the first 2 years, I worked very hard to learn this new way of moving, but then, punk.
And send you hurtling back to the truth. You're dead too. Have a good evening. And you know what doctors say? Shit, if only you smoked, we'd have the technology to help you. You're people dying from nothing that are screwed. I got all sorts of neat gadgets waiting for me, man. Oxygen tent, iron lung. It's like going to Sharper Image.
Even to a layman. I want you to help me, Dr. Lecter.
Yes. I thought so.
It's about Atlanta and Birmingham.
Yes?
You read about it?
In the papers. I don't tear out the articles. I wouldn't want them to think I was dwelling on anything morbid.
I suddenly realized. I suddenly realized that people were dressing in a startling manner, and there was a great new sound of music, which was all called punk. I was so excited to hear the raw sound that was punk music, because rock had become so boring and predictable and stale and dull and predictable and boring, and it was just a self-perpetuating machine. The thing that's thrilling and exhilarating about rock was that it represented a kind of rebelliousness of not knowing how far one could go, which had gotten lost, and then punk came back really irreverently. And with punk, once again, there was a chance to find out what extremes, high, low, what extremes were possible for living our lives. In dance, there was nothing. In dance, there was a gap. So I went into the studio and started making distorted, dissonant, raw kinds of movement to correspond to that sound and those ideas.
So by definition, only modern humans can have language. On this view, syntax is governed by a system of rules that are literally ingrained in the human brain. It's
major rationalizations. We live in such a weird culture, man. So you want to remember this? When Yul Brynner died and came out with that commercial after he was dead? I'm Yul Brynner and I'm dead now. What the fuck's this guy selling?
Retained a regal center, like from classicism, but basically I was taking all the rules from the classical canon and breaking them.
And it is still elusive. Sometimes it is still too elusive. Intimacy is frightening. And it can be painful. But you know that. You've experienced both too often, too deeply. Now, we suppose we could compile a list of, endless list of reasons why intimacy is frightening. Through the years of your growing and changing, reasons have risen up and they have fallen away. Because after all, you have grown and changed, and you are evolving. Yes, you are. But even so, as many fears have come up, and as many as you've handled and dismantled and have fallen away, there are a few that we call sentinels. Sentinels of fear that are always there, that will always be there, that will always need your attention. So let us talk of those. Four sentinels, often silent sentinels, sentinels of fear when it comes to this that is intimacy. The first we'll call the sentinel of exposure. To develop intimacy, to grow intimacy, you need to enter the liminal. That somewhere that is in between. Quite specifically, one could say, somewhere between the love you feel and the caring that you hold. Intimacy with another person. If you don't love or care about them, then intimacy is not an issue. But when you do love and when you do care, somewhere between that loving and that caring, there is intimacy, even as we've joked of it many times, that it's not love that frightens you, it's intimacy. There are many, many people who are out there trying to find love without intimacy. If they could only have a loving relationship but not be intimate, and they meet someone and they decide together and they talk it all out very articulately. Now, we're going to have a loving relationship, right? But we're not going to get intimate. We're not going there. We're not going to do that. Right. But you go there. You have to go there because intimacy, when you love, you move into depths of love, even the shallowness of love. You slip into the liminal. You start caring about this other person. Well, okay, I'll love you and I'll care about you, but we're not going to be intimate. Somewhere between that loving, however shallow, however pedestrian it may be, and that caring, however fleeting. Oops, I'm starting to care. Stop. Don't care. I don't care. I refuse to care. I care. Somewhere between the spark of love and the spark of caring, somewhere between the liminal, not in love, not out of it, not in caring, not out of it, but somewhere between, there's that liminal, that intimacy, that terrifying place. Because it is the liminal, and in the liminal, you must expose yourself, or you are exposed, whether you like it or not. Exposed to your weakness. And to the darkness. To your darkness, to your dark shadow. The sentinel of fear called exposure.
If they said keep your shoulder down, I would bring it up. And if the hand is supposed to be elegant, I was taking it into angular types of shapes and adding extra planes and angles to the whole body. The reason I did this is because I wanted a new kind of beauty, one that demanded a kind of passion because it had a trouble spot at the center.
You want to know how he's choosing them, don't you?
I thought you might have some ideas.
Why should I tell you?
You get to see the file in this case. And there's another reason.
Pray tell.
I thought you might be curious to see if you're smarter than the person I'm looking for.
Then by implication, you think you're smarter than me since you caught me.
No. I know that I'm not smarter than you.
Then how did you catch me?
You had disadvantages.
What disadvantages?
You're insane.
Thank you.
stiffer and stiffer and stiffer until at the very front of the stage, the movement became just stuck with stiff knees like robots. It was a kind of end of the possibilities of the disintegration of movement from which to start anew. Basically about beautiful, awkward, stiff-legged walking, I was ready to do virtuoso dancing again. I began making movement that was extreme, huge, precarious, off-balance, angular, fast, full of momentum.
You are very tan, Will. Your hands are rough. They don't look like cop's hands anymore. And that shaving lotion was something a child would select. It has a ship on the bottle, doesn't it?
I'm all ears.
It's completely articulate and clear on the one hand while being flung and wild on the other at the same time. Work that I do. I never think of it as violent, though I know that it's extreme and passionate and reckless and devils may care.
I'm Emil Brenner and I'm dead now because I smoke cigarettes. Okay. But they could have done that with anyone. They could have done it with that Jim Fix guy, too. Remember that guy, that health nut who died while jogging?
New metaphysics. That's the 112th rail car going by now. I thought it was slow motion, except these cars are very, very long. And I thought I might be in slow motion, and then that's why it looks normal. And then it goes on and on. Add a couple more. Turn left. How do you really know? How do you know? Oh, they'll print it. How do you know?
Part of its makeup. I think rather than violence, what people are seeing is conflict. There's a kind of conflict between impulsiveness and freedom on the one hand and the necessity for social restraint on the other hand.
To be intimate, you enter the liminal and you expose yourself. You expose yourself to your own weakness and to your strength. You expose yourself to your shadows, both dark and light. And in that self-exposure, if that's not enough, the other, within that intimacy, will see. You will expose your weaknesses and your strengths. You will expose your shadows, your shadow self, both dark and light.
Going to give you a purely visual aesthetic experience. And within that range, there is a tremendous range of opportunity and possibilities.
To the other. Most people shrink from such exposure. Most people shrink from exposing their weaknesses.
Was the sound of Arthur Dent waking up and suddenly remembering where he was. Islington has that effect on people, even 2 million years ago. Arthur has been living in the prehistory of the insignificant little blue-green planet where he was born, some 2 million years later, which is a terribly lonely position for any being other than a member of the species Hurrah Farraf to find itself in. Members of the species Harraf Harraf would, of course, take it in their stride, because they live backwards in time anyway, and find that getting the business of sagging bottoms and death out of the way at an early stage prepares the way for an increasingly wonderful time after your midlife crisis celebration, finishing in a really quite extraordinarily pleasant birth. They're also the only race known actually to enjoy hangovers, because they know it guarantees that a tremendously good evening will ensue. Arthur Dent is not, however, one of their number, and takes it hard. He's also cold and damp and extremely lonely.
Looks like it's you and me again today, Horse Chestnut.
He hasn't seen Ford Prefect for 4 years, and life has, as a result, been quieter than an uneventful Tuesday in the petrified dust bowls on the abandoned fourth moon of Narp. In fact, so astoundingly quiet that he hasn't been blown up, thrown out of spaceships, sucked through space, or even just insulted. Except for once, one evening just 2 years earlier.
Evening, Sycamore One. Evening, Sycamore Two. Evening, Ash. Evening, Elm. Ugh, be like that. Bloody elms. You try to be polite, and where does it get you? I don't know why I...
What's that? Good heavens! It's a spaceship! It's landing right in front of us! I'm saved!
Dent?
That's right. I'll just get my pouch.
You're a jerk.
What?
Arthur Dent. Arthur Philip Dent.
What is it?
You're a jerk. A complete asshole.
But...
And stop whining, you snivelling little drip.
Hey! What is this? Wait a minute! Come back here and say that! Who the hell do you think you are?
Wabagger, the infinitely prolonged, thinks he's a man with a purpose. Not a very good purpose, as he would be the first to admit, but at least he keeps him busy, keeps him on the move. For Wabagger is one of the universe's very small number of immortal beings. Those born to immortality instinctively know how to cope with it, but Wabagger's not one of them. Indeed, he's come to hate them, and he refers to them succinctly and often as the load of serene bastards.
The load of serene bastards?
He had his immortality inadvertently thrust upon him by an unfortunate accident with an irrational particle accelerator.
Oh, dear.
A liquid lunch.
Oops.
And a couple of rubber bands. The precise details of the accident are unimportant, as no one has ever managed to duplicate the exact circumstances under which it happened. Though many people have ended up looking very silly, or dead, or more usually both, in the attempt. To begin with, it was fun. He had a ball, living dangerously, taking risks, cleaning up on high-yield long-term investments, and just generally outliving the hell out of everybody. But even the joys of immortality can't last forever.
Computer.
Yes?
I'm incredibly fed up.
Oh, dear.
It's the eternity of these Sunday afternoons I can't cope with. That and the terrible listlessness that starts to set in about 2:55. What is the time, by the way?
It's 9:30 a.m.
Something just went bingo in my head and said, this is something remarkable.
Don't think you can persuade me with appeals to my intellectual vanity.
I don't think I'll persuade you at all.
Oh, I don't remember seeing his commercial. I'm Jim Fix, and I'm dead now. And I don't know what the fuck happened.
On their dark shadow. But even more people shrink, even recoil, from exposing their strengths. Honestly, genuinely exposing their strengths. More people shrink, even recoil from exposing their light shadow. The fear of exposure, no matter how accustomed you are to it, is a silent sentinel to see and to show your weakness and your strength, to see and to show your shadow, dark and light. People shrink, and thus shrink from intimacy. People recoil, and thus recoil from intimacy. At the very least, the experience is frightening. And often people's response to fear, to deny, to discount, to defend, to attack. That's one of the sentinels. The second sentinel of fear is always there, is what we call the sentinel of perception. It's strongly linked to the sentinel of exposure. Certainly initially, when one begins the exploration of intimacy, perception, what does it mean? The singularity of imagery, it means having sex. Were you intimate? A euphemism for whatever you want to call having sex. And therefore, that's all intimacy is, a misperception, a misunderstanding. Misperceptions and issues around what you are looking for in intimacy. Certainly, but those for you have fallen away. And if that's all the sentinel of perception was all about, it would have been gone long ago, crumbled as you've grown and changed. But no, it's different than that, deeper than that, goes much further than that. The sentinel of perception ties into the issues of weakness and strength, the issues of dark shadow and light shadow. As we've already suggested, as you well have experienced, people have difficulty dealing with their dark shadow, with their weaknesses. But they'd much rather do so. They'd much rather do so than honestly and genuinely deal with their strengths, the fear of admission. I'd like to think I'm powerful. I'd like to think I'm creative. I'd like to think this and that and the other. But I don't really believe it. I don't really hold it. I don't really own it. I may tell you that I am all of these things, hoping to convince you and maybe myself as well. Many people, far easier to talk about the weaknesses, the failings, the shortcomings, about the dark shadow, if they talk about such at all, than it is to talk of strengths and the light shadow. People would rather, those seeking to grow, to change, like you and others, would rather deal with their dark shadow and their weaknesses, rather than face and work with their light shadow and strength. Also, people tend to make weaknesses and darkness more real than strength and light. Even when they're willing to own, yes, there is a light shadow. Parts of me that are beautiful, that are fantastic, that are marvelous, that are sensational, that are special qualities within me, about me. And they're real, but not as real as this dark stuff.
Hell is this?
And then they would give us back something that we didn't know that we had, which was a sort of infinite longing for having the familiar codified in some way.
It began, this is 1960, this one, and you can see this is a before and after. That's a very American thing, the nose job. Then he tried the comics. for example. The comics are in every American's childhood. He paints things that are already in the media, that are flat, photographs, images in newspapers.
And then he made the sort of brilliant intuitive discovery that printmaking and painting are not necessarily different activities. By using commercial printmaking techniques, he was able to silkscreen large canvases with images that were photographic in their first instance.
And so here we are now, and we're back making a film of something that very often began with a film, the movie stars, the silver screen.
Issue number 141 of the Fantastic Four, published in November 1973, Reed Richards has to use his anti-matter weapon on his own son, who Annihilus has turned into a human atom bomb. It was a typical predicament for the Fantastic Four because they weren't like other superheroes. They were more like a family. And the more power they had, the more harm they could do to each other without even knowing it. That was the meaning of the Fantastic Four, that a family is like your own personal antimatter. Your family is the void you emerge from and the place you return to when you die. And that's the paradox. The closer you're drawn back in, the deeper into the void you go.
I jogged every day, ate nothing but tofu, swam 500 laps every morning. I'm dead.
Besides, we have Dr. Bloom working on it. He's the best.
Do you have a file with you?
Yes.
Pictures?
Yes.
Let me have them and I might consider it.
No.
Dream much, Will.
Goodbye, Dr. Lecter.
You haven't threatened to take away my books yet. Let me have the file and I'll tell you what I think. This is a very shy boy, Will. What were the yards like?
Big backyards. Fences, hedges. Why?
Because, my dear Will, if this pilgrim imagines he has a relationship with the moon, he might go outside to look at it. Have you ever seen blood on the moonlight, Will?
Yeah. We've decided that you guys would be happy to know that we've at least had like one out of every three episodes we've recorded has somehow gone terribly awry.
Who proved that the German language could be expressive at the highest levels of literary art.
advisable. The date for the footprints is 3.6 million years ago, found in association also with afarensis bones, so we know what we're talking about. And we are, of course, going to focus on the hominid footprints, not the birds and the elephants.
I have strengths, and I own them. I recognize, acknowledge this, my forgiveness, my love, my dreaming, my will. All these are my strengths. But they're not as powerful, not as real as my weaknesses. You see, people hold, perceive that weakness and darkness is more real. And they make it so.
Officer?
They give more time and space
okay,
to what's wrong. Give more time and space to the weaknesses and the darkness.
Okay, your serve.
That matters more. Yeah, I may be creative, but this weakness matters so much more. I gotta fix this before I deal anything with that. Sure, I'm creative, or sure, I'm forgiving. Big deal. I am scared, or I'm weak, or I'm a failure here. I gotta fix that. All this attention, all this time and space, all this length, width, and breadth. And it matters. And it matters. And I reflect upon it. Oh, yeah, I got strength. It gets this much space and time, this much dimensionality, compared to this much. And it matters, but a smidgen, compared to what's wrong with me, how that matters. After all, I don't want to delude myself. After all, I don't want to be in denial. Maybe you are in denial.
You leave a trail like a fucking caterpillar.
By refusing to see your strength.
I'll tell you what I can do. I can meet with these limo guys. Tell them to leave you alone for a while. In a way they can understand.
You don't know these guys.
Believe me, Harry, I know them a whole lot better than you do.
It appears quite black. If one were nude, it would be better to have privacy for this sort of thing.
Leo, look at me. I'd have never thought you'd be so dumb. Leaving over 300 grand in a closet under an extra blanket. But I guess you are.
I didn't know where else to keep it. Where would you?
How about a bank?
No, they report it to the IRS.
Well, you don't open an account. You put in a safe deposit box. You dip in it whenever you want.
How did you know that I was here?
I give you another tip. Next time you write to your wife, don't use hotel stationery.
It was Faye, wasn't it? Told you about the money? What, you tell you my whole life history, for Christ's sake?
Leo, I'm here to save your ass.
How? By taking my money?
No, you get to keep the money that you won today. That's yours.
It's all mine.
Leo, sit down. I don't know how you got this far. You're so fucking dumb.
Le vede tremare. Non riesce a respirare. Il sangue gli pulsa nelle tempie. Con una fatica enorme solleva lo sguardo.
By refusing to see your light. No. Gotta shade my eyes so that I can see what's wrong with me. I don't want to be in denial. You see, people give more dimension, more mattering, more reflection to weakness and to darkness. And therefore, that is not only perceived as more real, it is more real in your reality. Despite whatever choices or preference, oh, I wish. People make the negative, or not the negative, that's not even the proper word, the weakness and the darkness more real than the light and the strength. And therefore intimacy is perceived as dark.